So you say that your mom...
Wait, okay. Go ahead.
Yep. Your mom was never bedridden because she was always psychologically healthy. She was mm-hmm. an Eskimo comedian.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we learn from different people that have encountered, that we have learned from. Ever since we were small, who was my role model? Who was my healthy role model?
Do you have anybody still living who is in that role today? When you go home, that you can look to as a mentor still at
this
point in your life?
She's an elder. She's Mary Lou Levitt. She's my role model.
And how long has it been since you said it's been 7 years since you've been home?
Mm-hmm.
You must be so excited to go back, huh?
My family,
mm-hmm.
my grandkids. I think that's and the realization that that I have to take care of myself first. I have to fix myself first before I can fix anybody. Like that 11-year-old little girl. I remember in a conference, in a big health and social services conference. I never forgot that.
Oh, that said that you had to
fix yourself first before you can fix anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Duh.
Yeah. That makes sense.
It makes sense. But that doesn't mean you have to do this. I mean, it's just a choice. We're all healthy people. We are. Every human being is healthy. It's just that they have been violated and confused and whatnot, and they have to realize that it wasn't their fault, it wasn't their shame, and continue to find themselves and be among healthy people. That's why I feel so good being in the midst of university. I love it. Something about the spirit of wanting to learn. It's beautiful. You could feel it, and you just see these people that, wow, that's an honor. You know, you're a role model for your younger generation, for your niece, for your nephew, or whoever is involved in your life, whether it be a teenager or, you know. Emily Brown was a role model. She graduated from, she went to college. She was an elderly. There's a place named after her over there.
Hmm.
At the university. If she can do it, anybody can do it.
She was an elder when she was going
uh-huh.
to school?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
when she was going to college. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, that's
wow.
great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I definitely appreciate your being here, Edith, on a personal note, because we can read as many books as are printed, but to get the true feeling of the Inupiaq people, that's the only way to do it, is to interact with the Inupiaq people. You know, and if we want to learn about your culture, I think that, you know, my way of doing that better than just sitting in class or reading books is to go to Barrow, you know, to sit down at a table and have some meals with people and talk and listen to the stories and take part in the festivities and do stuff like that. So in your being here for the month that you've been here, it's been great that you've been willing to share your knowledge and all the great information that you've had. And even in this time, we haven't had a whole lot of time together, but the time that we've had together has been very valuable. And it's wonderful that it's being transcribed, it's being put, you know, like this
writing.
Forever.
Exactly. And one of the things that I would like to mention, the North Slope people have been successful because they pray. Before their meetings, before anything, they know there is a higher power. They know there is a creator who takes care of them. Even before the missionaries came, we knew. We respected the land, we respected each other. And that's how Inupiaq people were. And we have been taught good by our elders, and the Inupiaq values are very crucial that the younger people know about them, you know, so that's what we are going to discuss Tuesday.
And that's what you're, and that's what you're trying to do by being here with us.
Mm-hmm. And when I was just thinking, why is our corporation successful? Why? Because we're under the prayers of so many souls that have gone, you know, and we treat well. We have been taught the Inupiaq values, how to treat people, and the animals know how you are, and they come to you because you have a giving heart, or you treat people with respect.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we are in the top. The corporation ASRC is successful, and today, hopefully, that all the offices and corporations and entities can come together and work together and continue to do that, because we are a community. We need to learn to work together and set aside these things that have happened in the past. So this is moving forward. We have to move forward and
to keep the
Inupiaq
culture
mm-hmm.
alive and well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And teach our children, our grandchildren.
Okay, well, I'm sorry to say that's the end of our time. And we're going to be discussing what on Tuesday? In
values.
Class. In class, okay.
Inupiaq values.
Okay, well, thank you once again, Edith.
You're welcome.
Okay, my name is Janice Reed. I'm the student interviewer today, and I'm with our elder, Edith Nagiak, who's from Barrow. Today we're going to start out by talking about traditional foods of the Inupiaq people. I'm honored to be sitting at the table here with Edith this morning, and she's just baked some wonderful biscuits using her mother's traditional biscuit recipe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So could you tell us a little bit about these biscuits?
I remember Mom making them all the time, whether we're out camping. They're like instant biscuits. You make them right away. Especially when you have fire. But it did work too in the tents. We've always grown up with these recipes, and I think it just stuck in my mind, because our mind is like a computer. And one day After Mom passed away, I decided to make biscuits and said, wow, okay, I can do it. I didn't have any recipes. I just knew what to put in the, like in the bowl, we put the flour, salt, and baking powder. And you add water, and then what I do is add Crisco. That's the original recipe, Crisco. I did this with olive oil because I'm watching my cholesterol and it doesn't work with olive oil. And so it has to be the original recipe. And you have to have a fire stove. Because when I bake biscuits, I put them in there and then there's a thing under the stove where you put the temperature high, 500.
Oh, the broiler, huh?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, the broiler. And they're really good. You cook them in there. What Mom did was put the pans inside the oven and they would be nice and hot. And she takes them out and put the Crisco oil right away. She did it really fast, and I do that. And start, you know, put the biscuits in, like this, make them round, and then you crunch them down with your fist, with your hand, like that. And then you just stick them in the oven, and then 3-5 minutes later, you take them out and put them under the fire, and it'll broil the, and they're really nice and soft like that. Because right now I use the electric stove and it's, I don't like it. Electric stove don't work.
So when you were out camping, when you were kids, how did she do it? She'd take a little stove, something you can put on the fire?
Somehow I remember how some families had these little wood stove, or there was an additional space to put whatever you want to bake inside the wood stove. But when we were camping, it was always silavia too. It's a sourdough pancake.
Oh,
that's what we had grown up with also. Sourdough pancakes, and you put them on top of the stove, and Mom would be making sourdough pancakes. But somehow, at home, especially like I said, I grew up watching her all the time making biscuits, and I did it, and I have it right down pat. And it's different from each sibling. I make mine different. Priscilla makes hers different, and you know, however. But it's the same recipe.
Mm-hmm. So how about for the Inupiaq in general? For the North Slope, what foods are traditional to your people that you grew up eating? We talked in class yesterday about whaling.
I was born in Kaktovik.
You were born in
Kaktovik. There's the sheep, the squirrel, the seal. You know, I grew up eating, and also the fish, aurochs. That's what I was trying to remember, the Eskimo name for you ferment the fish, and it's really good. Just keep it away from the sun. You put it somewhere and in about a week, it'll be really good. We call it aurochs.
Aurochs?
Aurochs. Uh-huh. Aurochs. Like O-W, but it's A-U-R-U-Q, Aurochs.
So you ferment the fish and keep it away from the sun. How long would you ferment it?
About a week. Less than a week.
And so that would be raw fish, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then after it was fermented for a week, how would you serve it? Just like that? Or you dip it in?
No, just like that. Mm-hmm. We eat it just like that with no oil or anything. It's really good. That's what I grew up in.
And so the seals, would those be just bearded seal or?
We moved to Barrie in 1958, and I remember Mom hunting seal. She loves to hunt. She's a sharpshooter.
Really?
Rhoda Nair, and one of the fastest seal skinners. And nobody has ever beaten her record. I think she did 57. Was it seconds? Yeah, 57 seconds.
Fastest skinner?
Fastest seal skinner.
57 seconds?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Holy cow, that's under a minute.
She did it for many years, ever since she was small. They had to learn how to, you know, cut up seals and bearded seals, and it's just natural for them to do it. And during the World Eskimo Indian Olympics, that's when they started the competition, and she's always won. And one time she won the fish cutting contest, and I remember her being in the news. Like, she was about 67, I think, being on the news that there was a, how did they say, was she 77? That young man was like 60 years younger, something to that effect. So that was our food. We grew up with fish, sheep. Every Christmas and Thanksgiving, sheep soup is really good, very, very good. And ptarmigan, we grew up with ptarmigan, handled ptarmigan. And we catch those around April, up there, and we go camping. I remember personally, Uncle Perry took us out and he made some squirrels, and he fed us. Oh, that was so good. Squirrels are good too.
How are they prepared?
Boiled. Make sure there's no... The insides, of course, and the head and everything are taken out. They save the little size. They're really good eating.
So you cut the head and the insides out and then boil
mm-hmm,
them?
Mm-hmm. Of course the skin is out.
Take the skin off.
Yeah.
And so the squirrels you would get with traps, or you shoot them with the 22, or how did you get
both?
Both?
Mm-hmm. Trapping them, shoot them right in the head.
Yep. And the same with the ptarmigan then too?
Ptarmigan is shooting. We shoot them.
Did you do that? Did you get to, when you were a kid, did you get to go hunting?
I didn't shoot. And I know watching Uncle George, I think, or whoever, with a trap or putting traps, you know. I was very, very small though.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Mom, when we went to Barrow in 1958, she taught us how to catch a lot of birds on the ocean, by the ocean. She would teach us how to make a little a trap to catch a whole bunch of birds. And that was good. That was really good eating. With seal oil. So these are the things that I guess everybody should know there's always food forever. Even they even ate seagulls long, long, long time ago. Seagulls and owls.
Owls?
Uh-huh. But they don't practice that anymore. maybe because the seagulls are eating in the trash or whatever, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if somebody was out lost or whatever, those are the things that they should know. Owls are edible, and seagulls and any little birds, ptarmigan squirrels. Don't eat wolf.
No.
I don't know why. Don't eat wolf or wolverine. We've never practiced that.
I wonder if it's because they're too much like dogs, considered.
But if you're starving, I remember a story about an Eskimo eating his dogs to survive.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long time ago. So that has happened. Somebody got lost or whatever. Yeah, and ended up eating his dogs.
Survival skills.
Mm-hmm. Survival. Yeah. So in Barrow, there's a whale. The whale, the walrus, the bearded seal, the clam from inside the walrus. They're really good when you take them out and you clean them out and then put them in the seal oil or whale oil. Really good. Really good eating. So anything from the ocean, from the sea is unsaturated. It's very healthy to eat. And from the land, in Barrow, there's the caribou, the eider duck, the fishing, ice fishing. So,
Yeah, geese. Probably
yes,
many species,
geese.
Huh? Of birds or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about moose?
No.
No?
No.
So that would be a trade item if you wanted? Did you eat much moose growing
up?
Probably not much.
No.
Moose.
No. Oh, don't forget the polar bear. Our dad was a prominent polar bear hunter and we grew up eating polar bear. Oh man, it is so good. It's very tender. But you have to boil it a lot. You have to cook it a lot. A long time. You have to thoroughly cook it. Hold it. And I think just remembering how they mom used to cook walrus and she would cook it just with, I think they ate it first. They ate the walrus and then she just put it in the boiling water just for a few seconds, 30 seconds or so, not too long, and take it out. Man, that's good eating. It's partially fermented and it's cooked, and mom used to have different types of food on the table, and people would come and eat. That's how she served the whale when Daru got a whale one year. They couldn't catch a whale for a long time, and then our dad caught one, and she just put the whale meat and everything, muktuk and everything on the table, and it was, nowadays it's a share. Yeah, it has to be. But some practice that. I had the opportunity to be invited inside the house and eat with the elders. That's really good.
Oh really?
I thought that was such a high honor. Because I think I'm getting to that age. It was this guy, young guy. He has white hair, And he did.
Anybody with white hair can come in. Roy and I did. I went in there.
Was that this year?
Uh-huh. Just recently. The fall wedding.
So what were your experiences in there? A place you had never been allowed before during a feasting,
sitting.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Sitting down and eating, and like it reminded me of mom's table. There was no any much of maktak you want to eat. That was really good. That felt really good.
Because that's the elders' food, right? The maktak mm-hmm. is for elders to eat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they give them a chance to just eat any much they want.
And so anybody who who's might listen to these tapes and they don't know what muktuk is, could you get on the record what muktuk is?
It's the spiritual essence of our Inupia people is the whale. The whale gives itself to the people, and whoever catches it shares it with everybody. And also during whaling celebration in June, and also during Thanksgiving feast at the church, and during the Christmas feast at the church. We hunt the whale in April. That's a spring whaling season, and then fall whaling is in September. And so we cut it up. They cut up a slice while everybody's down there, and they start boiling it, and right away people who are helping, trying to get the whale up on the ice, have a chance to eat the first time whale. And we boil it. And we boil the whole, not the whole, but there's specific cuts from the whale where one goes to the captain and some parts go to the, during the Nalukata Christmas and Thanksgiving, there's some parts of the whale. Some parts of the whale goes to the people who are helping cutting up the whale. And so, and the flippers go to a specific person. I think I talked about it the other day.
But the muktuk is what part of the whale?
The skin, the black.
Skin. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The black and the blubber.
And that part is considered
the
delicacy?
Black skin.
Or? You had mentioned in class something about the muktuk was like the elders' food, something about the elders and the muktuk. I might have gotten that wrong, though.
No, it is an honor to catch a whale and to share it with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The whale gives itself to you to feed the people. But there's this certain avatai unik. That's what I was trying to say. Avatai unik is one time we caught that while our mom was alive, and it's a delicacy. Avatai unik, elders love that type of muktuk. It went under after they bomb it, after they kill it, the whale went under, and so on the third day the whale rises, and that's when they only take the top off, that's all, the muktuk. Everything is not eaten at all, just the muktuk. That's a delicacy of the elders.
It's the muktuk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a week after they catch a whale, the captain's wife make this mikiyak, fermented whale meat, and that is also a delicacy. We love to eat that. We call it mikiak, fermented whale meat.
Mikiak?
Mm-hmm.
Mikiak, fermented whale meat.
M-I-K-I-G with a dot.
K-I-G.
A-Q.
Mikiak.
Yeah.
And it's considered a delicacy?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so delicious?
Mm-hmm. I could just see Chris, you know, during the class. It's like caviar. Jeez, caviar is like what, $2,000? I mean, you know, they eat. Why not us?
How many times a year would you think you would eat that? How readily available would you have it?
During April, when somebody catches it, spring. During September, fall whaling, when they catch it. Oh, April. June, when they have the whaling festival. And then in September, the fall whaling, we would eat it. And then now, this time of the month, Thanksgiving, we would eat it. Christmas, we would eat it. And then comes March, February, everybody's cleaning out their cellar. March, giving out maktab, the rest of the maktab that they had. It's a cycle of giving. A sacred mammal.
Okay, let's see. Okay, we talked about you're being born in Kaktovik, where the sheep, squirrel, seal, fish were abundant foods,
mm-hmm,
that
yeah.
You need, so primary food.
Ptarmigan. Yeah.
And then for barrel, so whale, which would be bowhead whale, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Walrus, bearded seal, clams, which you're not finding them on the beach, you're getting them from
sometimes
inside
from
the walrus.
Beach.
Oh, really?
Sometimes from the beach.
And would that be seasonal?
We tried to find some. We couldn't find any this fall. So it's when it's really windy and the waves are really high.
Oh.
That's when you try and see if there's any out there.
A lot
there.
Of activity in the ocean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then polar bear.
That was in both in Kaktovik and Barrow. Polar bear.
And is that something that is still hunted today?
Mm-hmm.
And so, would it be in popularity as far as having a common food to eat would be polar bear is as common as walrus and whale then? How many times a week would a family eat?
No, it's rare.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, one time. We're adults this age, and somebody had caught a polar bear. Imagine us with mom, and we never had polar bear for a while, and we all went over there and was invited to go have polar bear, and there was a polar bear in the middle, and right after the fur.
Everybody,
you know, grab
it.
Yeah.
When was this? How long ago was this?
I don't know. I can't remember. But I remember mom was there, and they just like, oh my gosh, that's just something. You know, I wish. It's something. I don't know why they don't get polar bears often, because I remember our dad did, and we grew up on it, and it was really good.
Do you think the population is just not as much, or there's still quite a few, or what would be? Wonder why.
In Kaktovik, the reason is they're so tame. They come up and go to the, you know. But when they get into town and
try and get into your food and stuff. I remember I was in Cocktail Week and they got two of them from the yard. That's dangerous.
And so that's when you have to shoot them in mm-hmm. self-defense? Then you eat?
Not in self-defense. Somehow, you know, we used to have pets. Polar bear cubs in Cocktail Week.
Really?
And so I think that in, what is it, the relationship like that sometimes, it's in there, it's in your heart, and it's, but they do catch or get polar bear, but who was it that I heard? They rarely even shoot them anymore. I don't know why. I remember being in a whale where they had gotten a whale or whatever and went out there to go see the whole bunch of polar bears eating around the guts of the, I mean the remains of the whale. But they do. They do. Yeah.
I wonder if it's because there's an abundance of other foods, so you don't have to have polar bear. I don't know. That's strange. I mean, because it used to be a traditional food to eat a long time ago. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, over the years, it's became less and less in popularity for eating. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that's interesting. So how about, let's see, you also talked about caribou, or you get caribou and barrow, but no moose?
No moose.
But there are caribou up in Barrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let's see, I was going to ask about the sheep in Cocktail.
Only in Cocktail Week up in the mountains.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of foods, how would you prepare sheep?
Soup. Could you make sheep soup?
Uh-huh. But you wouldn't have like, you know how they have like lamb chops, different cuts of meat, stuff like that?
I've never seen, all I remember is having sheep soup and that's all. That's just it. Never. No sheep chops.
No sheep hamburger?
No.
I don't know, I never could figure out why they called hamburger hamburger when it's beef, not pork.
Yeah, beef burger.
Yeah. Okay, and how about moose or caribou?
We,
like here in Fairbanks, I know people make, you know, sausage.
We dry it,
and
soup, aloot dog. I have some now. You want some?
What's that called?
After a while.
What's it called?
Aloot dog. I just had made some.
Aloot dog?
Aluta, A-L-U, Aluta, T-A, G with a dot, A-Q.
A-Q.
Aluta.
And what's that?
It's caribou. We fry the caribou first. And then put flour, add flour and water and keep.
Is it ground or chopped?
No,
or?
No. It's cut up in little pieces.
Cut up in pieces.
And we serve it with rice and biscuits.
Sure,
and that's
rice.
Caribou. We could make caribou steaks. We could make it into hamburger, caribou burger. We could dry it.
And when you say dry it, would that be
outside,
like jerky?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, caribou jerky.
Oh, I'm salivating.
Oh, one of the things that I do remember are that mihukak, the caribou stomach. When they catch it, it's a certain time of the year that they do this. They put liver inside the caribou stomach. They take the caribou stomach out and cut up the liver and put it inside that caribou stomach and bury it in the ground. And then after a while, about a month, couple of months, and they go back and go get it. And man, that's good cooking. I mean, not cooking, that's good eating. We eat it frozen. Really good. Oh, man.
So you get caribou?
Niuka. We call it niuka.
How do you spell that?
Niuka. N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-N-I-
K-Niguk-Kak. Another K-A-Q. Niguk-Kak. Niguk-Kak.
So just a certain time of year you would get the caribou, then you would remove
it? No. Caribou, we could hunt it in summer. Anytime it comes around, we can catch it. But there's a certain time of the year where it's mating, and that's not good eating when they're mating.
Okay.
A certain time of the year. And so, you want to stop it?
Okay.
I have some.
Okay.
Right now, we're having alutak. It's terrible. And like I said earlier, you make it with flour. You fry the caribou first, add flour and water, and you cook it, and you serve it with rice.
Mm, and it's made
with caribou.
Yeah, and you, I'm talking with my mouth full. It's
okay.
Really good.
Okay.
It's in like a gravy,
yeah,
right?
It is gravy.
So that's how you make the gravy when
it
you say in the, with the flour and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
So you, it tastes good.
Mm, that's the idea.
So it would be kind of like a stroganoff dish that you would.
Stroganoff?
Yeah, sometimes like we make something like this using.
Yeah.
Cut
mulligan. Meat. They call it mulligan, I think.
Oh, really?
In the lower 48.
Oh.
Mulligan.
You just meat cooked in a gravy and served over rice,
yeah.
Or. Yeah, it's real good.
And then the flour gets thick, so you have to heat it up and add more water in it to heat it up.
Uh huh. And so, where'd you get this caribou?
From my cousin in Barrow.
So in all time, out of all of your traditional foods, what would you say would be your absolute favorite?
That one. Alutak.
Really?
Yeah. And brisket.
This and what else?
Brisket?
Biscuit.
The one
biscuit.
That's made. And
oh.
Turn out, you have to use the original recipe.
Uh-huh.
To make it work. I think I anyway, you add water into the alutak so that it won't be too thick.
And this is alutak?
Uh-huh. Alutak.
Oh, so you could serve this with rice or
yeah.
Over biscuits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you want, yeah. That's
and so this is still a popular food to eat today then, huh?
You could make caribou steaks, you could make caribou soup. An October past, the caribou tastes so good. Because the caribou, for some reason, they eat over there. It's an open, I don't know. It has to do with what they eat from the ground. And,
oh.
And theirs is really good. Good caribou. You could tell they're caribou from Barrow.
Oh, really?
The case, yeah.
Maybe more. What am I trying to say? More tender to eat off of, huh?
Mm-hmm. Greens, more greens.
More greens.
Too. Yeah, and because Anaktuvuk is closer to Fairbanks, you know, where there's trees and stuff. And Anaktuvuk has mountains and really wonderful land. Yeah.
So I guess until, I know we covered quite a few foods today, but if there's anything else that you think of that we didn't have a chance to talk about, because actually our time is short together for these interviews, I think. So if there's any other foods, because we didn't get to talk about berries or, you know, any of that stuff, so if you think about that for the next time that we meet.
I just had a chance to pick up some this summer. We went for a boat ride. We used to just eat from the ground, and we know what kind to eat. Kumulux.
Is it a berry?
No. It's greens. It's green.
Oh.
And we call them kumulux, and also the red, long red stalk, little stalks. And you take the top off and you eat it.
Oh, we saw it on the video?
I think so. Kumulux, that's what we eat. And quarrot. You put those in the seal oil. And so there are some, those I remember growing up eating. Because I remember Mom used to put those in the seal oil. Quarrot. They're really good.
How do you spell that?
Quagat. 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 Quagat.
Okay.
I think G with a dot, I'm not sure. Quagat.
Okay. Well, my time's up for today with you, Edith. So I'll go ahead and I'll make note for us to start our conversation out next week with talking about greens and then different berries and stuff like that. Or anything else that you think of we didn't cover, and then we can talk about
in regards to food.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then what I'd like to talk about further down the road is what has happened with, you know, like a long ago type of foods that were eaten that today aren't eaten as much. Kind of like we touched on that a little bit.
Yeah, we touched on that a little bit.
But then also how you go about preserving foods, if you do canning, jarring, smoking, you know, any of that kind of stuff. And then how you think that modern traditional foods like fast foods has an impact on your people in any way compared to the generations before as far as health and stuff like that.
I can talk on that.
Thank you so much for sharing. I look forward to our next time.